Hello, everyone. Welcome to Shakya Presents Movie Night. I'm your host. My name is Rudy Obias, and joining me is...
Harry Nemiroff.
In this episode, we're only going to be discussing one movie. There's a whole bunch of movies coming out this week in limited release, but the big movie coming out on the 30th wide is 50-50. This movie is the new movie starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen and Anna Kendrick. And it's a comedy of sorts. It's a comedy about... a 27-year-old guy who is diagnosed with cancer and how he deals with cancer, being at such a young age and getting his life really figured out, and he's kind of, you know, going on with his life, and then he gets diagnosed with cancer and how he deals with it and how his friends deal with him and the cancer as well. It sounds more dramatic than that, but surprisingly, this movie is a comedy. But I think one of the best things about this movie is that it does balance comedy and drama very well. Perry Nemiroff, what are your thoughts on 50-50?
Well, my thought going into it was the main question that was brought up when we first heard about this movie, and that is, can cancer be funny? And yeah, it can be. And the brilliant thing about this movie is you can cry about it, and you could laugh about it at the same time. But even better is that when you're laughing, you're not laughing at it. You're laughing in the most noble and respectful way possible, which is something I greatly appreciated that I was worrying about when I first heard about this movie.
Yeah, this is kind of based on a true story. The writer, Will Reiser, he's good friends with Seth Rogen, and he was actually diagnosed with cancer at an early age, and this is kind of somewhat autobiographical, although, you know, it's still a movie. And it's just funny to see what they use. Why this movie is so funny is because Seth Rogen being, you know, Seth Rogen, kind of like the slacker, pothead type of guy. And he kind of wants to use the cancer angle to Joseph Gordon-Levitt's benefit to pick up women in bars and whatnot, and to hook up with women and to smoke a lot of marijuana. So in that way, it's a stoner comedy. To an extent, and all that stuff is really funny, but when it gets really serious with him, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, trying to deal with being so young and having cancer, and then I'm not going to spoil that much, but also dealing with his family, his overprotective mother, it really gets heavy pretty quickly. And again, that's what I feel was most notable with this movie, is that it does balance the drama and the comedy very well. So one criticism that a lot of people have with this movie is kind of this romance between, or this would-be romance between Anna Kendrick and Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, that it continually builds and builds and builds throughout the film. Perry, how did you feel about this element of the movie?
Well, I didn't take much of an issue with their relationship as I did with her at first, because when we do see her in the movie, she looks very young, like even for her age. I mean, I believe she's in her early 20s, and which would be quite appropriate for the role in real life, but she looks very young. And it took me a little while to take her as being this doctor in training and her trying to be his therapist, but she grew on me. She reminded me a lot of her role in Up in the Air, and she sells it, and I bought it. And her relationship with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, Adam, is just so unassuming, and it builds so subtly that, again, it grew on me, and I took it to be very real.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I get your criticism with Anna Kendrick being young, because she is a very young woman, but in that respect, with her character in Up in the Air, she's not as, I guess, go get 'em in this movie as she is in Up in the Air. Like in this movie, her character is kind of a mess. Like her life is kind of a mess, and she's kind of dealing with, growing up and being in a position like that. I mean, I bought into the fact that she was training to be a psychiatrist. I mean, I bought into that enough where I did hold on to those moments when he's going through therapy and she is his therapist very well, I feel. And for me, it was pretty natural the way it went on and on and on. And it does leave you with this kind of a question of will they or won't they. And I really appreciated that with this type of movie. One characteristic that I really enjoyed with this movie was actually Seth Rogen. I was actually surprised how good Seth Rogen was in this movie, because he's still kind of playing that kind of archetype that he usually plays in movies, something like in 40-Year-Old Virgin or Knocked Up. But I feel there's so much heart with him in this movie and this character that that's something that I held on to in this movie. Perry, what did you think of Seth Rogen in 50-50?
Performance-wise, he was absolutely fantastic. He's so incredibly natural and feels like such a real person. And towards the end of the movie, his character really makes one hell of a turnaround, and it's just so overpoweringly heartwarming. My only issue with his character is that for like the first two-thirds of the movie, it's a little repetitive. I mean, his character shtick is that he takes Adam's situation and he uses it to pick up girls. And we see that quite a number of times. And yeah, I got a little sick of it. But then it blows up into this whole other thing. And because we were waiting in this same situation over and over again in the beginning, it makes that ending point so much more powerful that I almost appreciated that he didn't offer as much as I would have liked in the beginning, because it made the end even better, if that makes sense.
Are you referring to, I guess we can get into spoilers at this point, with Bryce Dallas Howard's character in this movie?
No, even beyond that.
Beyond that?
No, I'm talking more so about the end when Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character confronts him. And we get the peek at the book in his bathroom.
Oh,
it's kind of like those unspoken moments that I was like maybe because he was doing that same thing in the beginning over and over, that when I saw that book in the bathroom, I'm like, oh my God, you know, whereas if they had hinted at some sort of arc earlier on, that wouldn't have packed as much of a punch.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that moment, though, when he finds that book in the bathroom is pretty sweet. It's a pretty sweet moment. And, you know, you kind of hold on to Seth Rogen's character a little bit more because of that. That, you know, he's a really good friend. And I hope that if, God forbid, I'm ever diagnosed with cancer, that I have good friends and family around me that would support me in this way. And so, I don't know. I guess I'm happy that this movie doesn't go the route of, like, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character being diagnosed with cancer, can't afford all the therapy and all the treatment because of you know, health insurance or whatever. I'm kind of glad it didn't go into that way, route. And not to say that this movie isn't safe. I would say it's a little risky in the respect that they're selling this as a comedy, which it is at points, but I think audiences might be a little overwhelmed with how dramatic it gets.
It's funny, because in the beginning, some of the issues I had with it was that it wasn't dramatic enough. And I think that's because of the fact that Adam doesn't really react particularly emotionally when he finds out he has cancer, which makes the audience not react as much. So the beginning, I kind of felt, you know, like almost like middle of the road. Like I was okay with what's happening, but I wasn't particularly moved by it. But then in the end, when he does get really emotional, you feel it that much more.
Yeah, but I think that's a pretty accurate way for someone to react. I'm sure I wouldn't know how I would react if I ever got news like that, but I'm sure my reaction would be somewhat mixed, and I'd probably have this blank glaze in my eyes that, you know, you wouldn't know what I was going through, but I know I probably wouldn't show it as much. And so in that way, I feel Joseph Gordon-Levitt did a very good job in conveying that. And honestly, this is probably the best I've ever seen Joseph Gordon-Levitt in a movie, you know, where he does have this boyish charm that he has in all of the movies that he's in for the most part. But there is this this pathos that goes along with him. There's this really heartfelt notions that, you know, this character might die, that he might not be around anymore. And you do definitely feel that, definitely towards the end of the film, that you do get this connection with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character.
I'm still partial to 500 Days of Summer, but yes, I felt the same way, and this is probably a close second to that.
I think I like him more in this movie, because It seems like in this movie he has a spine. I mean, not to mix words, because he does have spinal cancer in this movie, not to sound so crass, but, you know, I've never really seen... There's a moment in this movie where he just... He doesn't give in to something where he easily could have. And it's sad, because throughout the whole movie, or at least this point in the movie, you know, he's sad by this news that he heard, and this eventual breakup with Bryce Dallas Howard's character. But there's this moment on the porch where he just doesn't give in and just tells her what he needs to hear so she gets out of his life. And I kind of respected the character a little bit more in that respect. Perry, what did you think of Bryce Dallas Howard in this movie?
Her character could have been built up a little more. I felt like that character was a little one-dimensional, and she came across as, you know, the girl that's too good for him right from the start. But then again, she ended up keeping me guessing through the whole thing whether or not she was going to be committed to the relationship, and I appreciated that, because I wanted her to be there to help him so badly, but at the same time, I sensed something looming. And that made her very dynamic to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty tough situation for a character like this to be in. She plays Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, Adam's girlfriend, in this movie. And at the beginning of the movie, we kind of get this impression that they're not, you know, their relationship is kind of going downhill. It's starting to get a little routine. They bring this up in bits of conversation between Adam and Kyle, with that their sex life isn't going very well right now, and it's just probably like a rough patch that they're going through. So we get this impression that it is a bad relationship, and sooner or later it's going to fall apart, and this couple's going to break up. And it's just kind of shitty that, Bryce Dallas Howard's point of view, that this guy that I'm probably going to break up with, now he has cancer. What do? I can't break up with him now that he has cancer. That seems like I'm coming off as a bad person. So I understand that to an extent, but she does stuff in this movie that is uncalled for, in my opinion. And there's no real logical explanation to explain those actions. And that's why when we finally do get that breakup scene, I felt great with it. I really felt great with it, and I was more on board with this movie from that point on.
It's nice to see him stand up for himself, especially because that moment is so out of the blue to me. I didn't think he was going to, and I thought he was going to fall right back into the swing of things with her and go for it. But, and then maybe, I mean, from the very start, I got the feeling that he was going to end up with Anna Kendrick's character. And I kind of held on to that through the entire thing, but I did think he was gonna go for her case on the porch right there.
Yeah, and that's why I really liked that scene, because it totally would have been easy to get back with Bryce Dallas Howard's character in that situation, especially the way she is coming on to him. Yeah.
There's something that's not all that bad about her, too. Like, sure, she does some things that I would never do in her situation, regardless of how I felt about a person. But at the same time, there is something that you can relate to in terms of, like, where she stands here. And you kind of, I mean, you do feel bad for her that she's obligated to him and might not really love him and all of that. So, you know, at the same time, you can't totally hate her.
Yeah. And again, it's just someone who's in a really shitty situation, and that's definitely how I put it. Or just a tough situation that, how am I going to get out of this when this relationship was going bad anyway, and I could have had a good out, but now I can't leave right now. It's just really unfair for both of them, in my opinion.
You know, the fact that their relationship was going downhill in the beginning, I actually didn't really pick up on that. I mean, maybe I missed something that was important there, but I kind of got the feeling that they were excited about going into that routine and her living with him a little bit. And then the issues came up a little more when he was diagnosed. Like, even actually when he was diagnosed, I kind of felt she was honestly gung-ho about helping him. And then it kind of just, like, that burden wore her out.
Yeah, definitely. And that definitely contributed to that, but I don't know. I guess as a guy, there was just a moment when Kyle and Adam are getting coffee at the beginning of the movie, and they talk about their sex life. Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bryce Dallas Howard's character, I picked up on that right away and just thought, oh, that's it's, you know, when your sex life goes in that direction, the relationship is not very good, or it's on its way out.
I got the impression that it was kind of always like that, and she always just had the upper hand. And that's how their relationship was built, and that's why she's kind of the girl that's out of his league. And he's reaching up to her almost.
I could see that.
So he's got to play by her rules.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, maybe I've just been played too much in my life.
It's really funny though how like two people can have two entirely different perspectives on something that's shown one way.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Okay, so with 50-50, I firmly recommend this movie. I mean, a lot of people are talking about Oscar consideration for this movie. Perry, what do you think that this movie could be a contender during the Oscar season?
I am going to take a pass on that. I don't think this is Oscar worthy, but I do very much think everyone should go see it. I think it's got a lot of emotion to offer. And really, the one part that really blew me away was, first of all, I'm not a big crier in movies. And yeah, this one got the tears flowing. But then on top of that, right in the middle of me crying, it made me laugh hysterically too. And I probably looked like an idiot while doing so. But it was such an intense emotion. And I've got to give this movie all the props for making me feel what I felt at the end of this.
Don't worry, the theater is dark, so there's no way people could see you looking like a fool, I guess. And I'm sure a lot of people in the audience were feeling that same way as well.
Thanks, you make me feel better.
I mean, when I was watching this, I hardly ever cry during a movie because I'm a guy and we just don't do stuff like that. And I'm being somewhat sarcastic. I was almost on the verge, but then the comedy came in, so I just stopped. I do think Summit is really going to push this movie come Oscar time. I mean, I honestly think like someone like Seth Rogen could be in a position for Best Supporting Actor because I feel he is this good in this movie that this is probably the best I've ever seen him, and his performance is so effective, and that's why we feel so much for Joseph Gordon-Levitt in this movie, is because the way Seth Rogen, his character Kyle, is very sweet and funny and, no pun intended, kind of supportive of Adam, and I do feel that I was really moved with his performance, so I can actually see, no joke here, someone like Seth Rogen getting nominated for Best Supporting Actor. So what is your final thought on 50-50?
My final thought is 110% go for it. It is just a really moving situation, and it's presented so well, and it's something just about anyone can take something from. And it's kind of nice to see cancer not put in such a dismal light, yet still, you know, bring out the comedy in a respectful manner.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make fun of cancer patients, which is a good thing. It doesn't make fun of cancer in any way. It's, you know, you're still living your life, and you have to find ways to laugh when you're diagnosed with such a horrible ailment. So, I really like it in that respect. And again, just balancing comedy and drama just so well that it's equally effective dramatically and comically, that you will cry and laugh while watching this movie, sometimes at the same time, and not many movies can do that, and that hopefully this movie will have a big weekend. I don't think anything else is coming out of this week that's, you know, a bigger release, but who knows, maybe Lion King will have a third week in a row at number one.
There's What's Your Number is hitting over 3,000 theaters. And Dreamhouse too, but yeah, that wasn't screened, and that's not a good sign.
So hopefully we'll see. Also, again, Take Shelter is playing I guess New York then.
I think it's just New York, maybe two in New York and one in LA.
If any of our listeners live in New York and LA, I would really recommend checking out Take Shelter. It's a fantastic film.
Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, now that's a lot of fun.
Oh, I did not see that yet, and I've heard nothing but good things from that movie.
It's a good time. Nothing that's going to make you think after. It is just a fun experience.
Cool. I'm going to check that out. But it's funny. I saw 50-50 after I saw The Help, like the next day. And so just seeing Bryce Dallas Howard in two very different movies, playing two different types of characters, but both kind of having that same outcome where you just don't like this person while watching it. I kind of want to see her in a movie where I like her again. Maybe I'll watch Spider-Man 3 or something. Or Lady in the Water. All right, so let's wrap up this episode of Movie Night. Where can we find you online, Perry Nemiroff?
You can find me at shocky.com, movies.com, cinemablend.com, comingsoon.net, and of course on Twitter. My handle is pnemiroff, P-N-E-M-I-R-O-F-F.
And you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. Autorcast.com, Shakya.com, and everything that is Rudy at RudyObias.com. On the next episode of the Autorcast, two big movies are coming out next week at the beginning of October. It's already October. That's kind of strange for me. We have The Ides of March, the new movie from filmmaker George Clooney, starring Ryan Gosling. And we also have Real Steel, starring Hugh Jackman. Two very, very different movies. So I'm wondering which one's going to do better at the box office that weekend. But it's probably going to be Real Steel. So wrapping up this episode of Movie Night, thank you so much for listening to our show. Goodbye.